in New Orleans, what musicians are there, or musical experiences, or since you've been in New Orleans, that you remember that particularly stick out? I mean, what are really charged musical? They don't even have to be single events, but they can be projects. You know, I don't know. It could be projects you've been involved with, or people, things like that.
But it would be people. I mean, it would be the people I've played with, including yourself. The genesis of all of that started for me, like I was saying before, in the 80s when I was with these bands, Gulfstream and Stick Band and New Jazz Quintet. It just went to a different level, higher level, when in the 90s when I started to play with you and with James Singleton and
Michael
Ray and other people like that. I started, it's like everything that I had worked toward had a real place in those bands and in those experiences, and I have recordings to prove it. I've got hundreds of recordings of those gigs.
Incredible.
That I've taped. I haven't listened to any of them in a while because I'm trying to get my house situated to have a separate room for my music stuff, and at that time I'm going to really go through those recordings and try to figure out what can be done with them. But for me, that was the heyday.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in my heyday right now. I have a gig on Bourbon Street, you know, which is fine. I mean, I play in an incredibly good band. But as far as, you know, the things that I am capable of doing that seem to be compatible with yourself and with others, you know, happened. There was this period of time when...
It's difficult to do what we were doing back then.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why I have to start. What you're looking at is me looking for different ways, because it's not easy anymore to work that out.
It's very
difficult. And there's so many forces that are involved in that. I mean, in a sense, I'm sort of trying to work out what these forces are that alter.
Yeah, and it's really odd because I do think my perception is accurate about there being more places to play now than there were. I mean, you could back in the old days when I first got here, and for a few years after that, if you didn't have a gig on a weekend night, you could put all your gear in a truck, have the whole band in the truck or following in another car, and drive around the city until you would find a bar that would let you set up and play.
Yeah,
we used to do that, mm-hmm. And several bands I was in, even with Walter. Didn't have a gig on a weekend, we'd find one.
Yeah, I used to do it with Kermit. It was very wild, actually. When I first got here, I was playing with Kermit. Mm-hmm. There was some degree of that. You know?
Yeah.
It still left a little bit. Then Treme up in the upper part, you know, there.
Yeah. But that was just making a gig.
Yeah.
You know, which, of course, you needed to do, especially if that was what you did for a living.
Yeah.
But... there seems to be more established venues, not like bar hopping, because I don't know how much that can really happen anymore, where music that we create and others like us, it seems to me to be more spaces to do it in. And but at the same time, and I don't know if it's because there's more musicians here, I don't know if there's been some kind of sea change in the culture. I don't know if it's the economical situation, the recession and all the stuff we have no control over. But I do know that creative musicians are struggling seemingly more so than before. And I can say, looking at my calendar, that there are less of those things on my book than they were this time 10 years ago.
Yeah. And do you have ambitions? Do you have things that you want to do? Is there music that you're working on? Is there somewhere that you want to go? I mean, how do you approach development now at this point for yourself? If you're not in the situations that are utilizing what you want to do and what you'd like to be doing, what is the direction that you trying to go in? I mean, much like you were trying to go in a direction when you were coming out of New York or when you met Grover Washington, is there anything like that now?
I think I'm still on the same path. I mean, there's certain things just about me that, that have been consistent. I don't practice the licks and cliches and that sort of thing. I still work on learning a lot of different modes, having working on my ears, very interested in interval studies, being able to identify any interval that I play or that I hear. Still learning ethnic music. Same path. And I, you know, I use it where I go. Mm-hmm. The reason that some of the things that I've done, like particularly playing with these Indian musicians, Indian classical musicians, was that I was playing stuff that I learned because it interested me, and I would play it on an R&B gig. Mm-hmm. Wherever I was, and people would listen and say, "Hey, you're coming at this from a place I don't normally hear people play in that style of music." Mm-hmm. I mean, on Bourbon Street, I'm playing all the stuff that I work on. I play it on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, that's going, you know, on the shows, D&D musicians and all of
it. Yeah, it doesn't go away just because I'm not in the actual environment to play it. I do it anyway. I don't have any real musical goal, or like a lot of people question why I don't have a record out, and my answer is I'm not playing on so many records I can't count them anymore. I'm well represented on records, and I don't think that as much as I continually hear people suggesting that I put out a record, unless I'm a composer, I don't really think I have anything to offer on the record. And I don't want to just go make a record of cover tunes.
Yeah.
I also think my best playing happens in the clubs. That's why I recorded all those shows. My best playing is on those recordings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because I think a lot of time one comes up against people's limited views of what music is, and they try to sort of thrust that on you as a necessity to come to grips with, which is really to limit the subject. So a lot of time with you, I feel like we're dealing with a very conversational level of music, in which the idea particularly of a product or something that you would put down is really doesn't have to do with that particular feature of music that we're playing around with. It's not to say it's really music more than the other, but it's just that. And it's very hard, you know. I think, I mean, for me, there's certain limitations to come up with that with people, because they're looking for you to do something that is, it's almost like they're impressed with what they heard you do, and then they try to get you to do something that would be less impressive to them.
That's right. That's right. That is absolutely right. My few dalliances with record companies made me understand that I really didn't care about that part of the business. Mm. Because, yeah, they'd hear me in a setting and go, "Oh my goodness." Then when you start to sit down and talk to them, and they've got their own idea of how they think you really sound good if you do this. Mm. You know, in every case, it was, I'd had to change something about what I played or who I played with, or stylistic things. And I just, by the time I was in my 30s when all of that started to happen, and I was like, I'm not interested in this. I get enough calls for records. I go play. I do what I do the best I can. But I don't want anyone telling me what to do if I'm going to make my own record. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I can't do what I want to do, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm. How do you like recording? Do you like playing live more programs? How do you feel about recording?
I never thought I was that good at it. A lot of people obviously think otherwise. I think just because I'm so much more interested in and also having an awareness that my playing really happens on the stage. Mm-hmm. That whenever I have the ability to influence a session, I try to create that kind of environment. You know, mm-hmm. I try to get the artist or the producer or the studio head to say, "Hey, look, can we get rid of these headphones, and you know, can we do this live, and can we all, you know, kind of get together in the same room? Can you figure out how to do this. Even in one of Anders, I've worked with Anders Osborne for years. Mm. And on the first record, not the first record I played for Anders, because I met Anders as a session player, just on one of his records. But by the time I was in his band, I was able to convince Anders that we couldn't make a better record together than if we did it live, like mm-hmm. we played on stage. And I brought my 8-track recorder to his house one day, and the band got together, and he said, well, these are the songs I want to play, the new songs. And we played them, and I recorded them on an 8-track, my 8-track recorder, and I made him a copy of it, and he said, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And we went and did that next record, which was called Ash Wednesday Blues. We did that whole record live, including his vocals. Everything mm-hmm. was live. He overdubbed very little after the fact. That record was 95% live. Mm-hmm. So I try to create those kinds of environments where, which I didn't have to do when I worked with Daniel Lanois, because Daniel Lanois had it set up so that whenever you went to a session there, you actually felt like you were on a gig. Mm-hmm. You'd have the big EV monitors blaring the track at you. There'd be people hanging around, so it's like being in a nightclub. There's always an audience there. And so here you're hearing the music the way you normally hear it on stage. Then you automatically react like you would on the stage. Mm. And many of the sessions I did over there at that studio, I mean, I was in and out of there within half an hour. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like walking into the club and playing a song and leaving. Yeah.
Are there any, I'll just one more question, and then we can call it, because I know you got to do stuff. Are there any notable other musicians that you see, not that you're playing with, or but that you've seen playing around town now, or even in the world, or what do you listen to? Is there things that stick out at you or strike you nowadays, or, you know, anything that you're finding, you know, penetrates? Because, I mean, it's hard for musicians, but once you have there's our naked ear where we just listen to things with fascination, and I find that it becomes, things stick out at you, when they really stick out at you, penetrate, becomes a little bit less, I'm not sure why it's less frequent. Sometimes I think it's because we have a backdrop of stuff that we're so fascinated with from the initial years or something.
I'm not a good person to ask that question of, because frankly I don't get out much, so I don't know what's happening mm-hmm. like I used to know. I wasn't really even hanging out back when I knew. It's just that I was, the scene was different then.
Yeah.
I have no doubt there's interesting things happening in town, because I know some of the people that are here that are still participating. They may have to go away a little bit to earn a living, but they're still here. I can't honestly say. I mean, I spend my time, I mean, it's still in development, I mean, which will be until I die. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by YouTube, because YouTube has brought all these artists and all people I don't know about. I can just look for something and find something interesting to hear.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. So I'm discovering music through YouTube, and I don't even know how much I'm discovering, because a lot of what I'm doing right now is like going back mm-hmm. and like trying to see whole bodies of work by a particular artist.
Yeah.
And see the line of development.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, me too. I think that's what we're really all up to now. Anyway, that's what's going on. Tim, man, thanks. It was a pleasure. I hope you're... Is there anything you want to say before I turn off?
Yeah, I just would say that... I'm going to miss you, frankly. You know, I know you're not, this isn't permanent, but I do think that unquestionably some of the best music I've ever played was with you.
Wow.
And I think you've made a great contribution to this city. And I'm fascinated by what's going to come out of this next development of yours.
Yeah.
And that I can participate in it.
You will be. Actually, yeah. Everyone will be. That's why. So hopefully, that's why I'm doing it. And I feel the same way, man. It's It's hard to, it's a lot of appeal to get out from that level of community, you know, that you've developed. But on the other hand, I'm doing it so actually I can make it, you know, so I can understand a little bit better some larger circumstances and get better, stronger works going. Definitely down here, you know, that's really what it's about. So it's a lot to go back, but you know, it's definitely a lopping off an era, you know, where, you know, so it's change.
Yeah.
Massive change.
Exactly.
You know, so that's the thing. But I appreciate it very much. And every minute I've been on stage with you, whether it's, you know, that whole run that you're talking about, coming out of, you know, from recognizing you when you're, I don't know where I saw you first, with the Left Ear or something, out to being in Michael's band, and then and all the rest of the stuff we did. It's pretty amazing. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.